The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge, simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're tackling, well, arguably the single most important idea in all of science, evolution.
Absolutely. And we're drawing from a really definitive modern guide, Evolution, by Brian and Deborah Charlesworth.
Yeah, this is such an essential deep dive for you, our listener, because, you know, we're not getting bogged down in old debates.
Right. The Charlesworths just cut straight to the chase. They lay out the overwhelming current scientific understanding, how the evidence has piled up, moving way beyond just observation into, like, molecular proof.
Our mission here is, well, it's to get beyond just nodding along that life changes. We want to really grasp the how, the actual molecular details, the mathematics.
How does this simple-sounding process, natural selection, operating over, you know, vast stretches of time, generate all the incredible biological complexity we see?
Exactly. It's like the ultimate intellectual toolkit, isn't it? If you understand evolution, you have this lens to understand almost everything biological.
For sure. From why you need a new flu shot because the virus is evolving constantly, right down to the history embedded in your own genes, your DNA.
So let's talk a bit about the authors who put this framework together so clearly. Brian and Deborah Charlesworth, a husband and wife team, both fellows of the Royal Society.
Which really says something about their standing in the field.
Yeah.
Top evolutionary biologists.
And what's really neat is how their expertise complements each other, right?
Totally. Brian Charlesworth, he's known as a theoretical evolutionary biologist, a population geneticist. He brings the heavy-duty mathematical rigor.
So that's the modeling, the statistics of how genes change in populations over time.
Precisely. He tackles some really complex stuff like the evolution of aging or, you know, why sex even evolved, considering its costs.
Okay. And Deborah Charlesworth.
She's also a celebrated evolutionary biologist, but with a focus on botany. Her work is more empirical, studying plant population genetics, looking at real-world variation, how evolution actually plays out in nature.
Ah, so you've got the theory and the practice, the math and the fieldwork all in one package.
Exactly. That's why their book is so compelling. They embody the modern synthesis, that fusion of Darwin's big ideas with Mendel's genetics. They're not just reporting, they're active researchers explaining the science as it stands now.
And this lets them state their core argument right up front, very confidently.
Yeah, that evolution by natural selection isn't just an idea, it's the unifying principle in biology. Their goal is really to show it as this incredibly robust scientific framework, to get past that everyday use of theory, meaning just a hunch.
Right. It's a scientific theory, meaning a well-substantiated explanation. And I loved how concise the book is. It makes it really accessible, even if, you know, your last biology class was ages ago.
Mm-hmm. And it tackles those common misunderstandings head on, like evolution being this straight line, a ladder of progress.
With humans perched right at the top, inevitably. Yeah, that one.
Or the idea that it's something that just happened in the past and stopped.
The book guides you through the whole intellectual journey so well, starting with Darwin's observations.
Then bringing in Mendel and genetics, that was the missing piece, how traits actually get passed on.
And then building up to today, the 21st century, with DNA sequencing, genomics, the molecular proof.
Yeah, covering everything from microevolution, you know, small changes like in bacteria, all the way to macroevolution, like how new species emerge over millions of years.
Their goal really feels like equipping you, the listener, with a clear evidence-based understanding so you can appreciate just how elegant the whole process is.
Okay, so to really get the weight of that evidence, we need to start where they do with Darwin's basic logic. Two big ideas. First, descent with modification.
Right, the idea that all life is connected, like a giant branching tree, we all share common ancestors way back.
And second, the mechanism driving it, natural selection. And the logic, when you break it down, is actually pretty straightforward.
Yeah, step one, there's variation. Individuals in a population aren't identical.
Step two, more offspring are produced than can possibly survive. Think about acorns or fish eggs.
Creates a struggle for existence, right? And step three follows from that.
Exactly. If you have variation and a struggle, then individuals with traits that just happen to give them a slight edge in surviving and reproducing in that specific environment, well, they'll leave more offspring.
And those offspring inherit those advantageous traits. So over time,
over generations, those helpful traits become more common. The population adapts. That's natural selection in a nutshell. Simple, but incredibly powerful.
And the Charlesworths then show how the classic evidence just slots right into this logic, like comparative anatomy, the idea of homology.
That's the shared underlying structures, right? The classic example is the pentadactyl limb, the five-digit structure.
Your hand, a bat's wing, a whale's flipper.
All built on the same basic bone plan, just modified for totally different functions.
Mm.
It only makes sense if they inherited that plan from a common ancestor.
Then there are the transitional fossils. Direct evidence of change over time.
Archaeopteryx is the famous one, isn't it? That amazing fossil that shows features of both reptiles and birds. A perfect snapshot of an evolutionary transition.
And vestigial structures, those little evolutionary leftovers.
Like the tiny, useless leg bones you find buried deep inside the bodies of some snakes or whales.
Wow. Remnants of ancestors that walked on land. It's pretty compelling stuff.
It is. But Darwin himself knew something was missing. He didn't understand how traits were inherited. That's where Mendel came in.
Right. Mendel figured out particulate inheritance. Traits passed down in discrete units, what we now call genes, not blended like paint.
Exactly. And the ultimate source of the new variation that selection acts on, that's mutation. Random changes in the DNA code.
So that's the modern synthesis right there.
Pretty much. You've got random mutation generating variation, and then non-random natural selection filtering that variation, favoring what works best in a given environment. Chance and necessity working together.
And the cool thing is, we don't just have to look at fossils. We see this happening now. Evolution in action.
Oh, yeah. The book gives great examples. The peppered moth in England is the classic textbook case.
Industrial melanism. The moth's changed color became darker really fast, within decades, to match the soot-covered trees during the Industrial Revolution, then changed back when the air got cleaner.
It's a perfect demonstration of rapid adaptation. But maybe the most critical example for us today is antibiotic resistance.
Oh, yes. A huge global health crisis driven entirely by evolution.
We use an antibiotic. It kills off the susceptible bacteria. But if even one bacterium has a random mutation making it resistant,
it survives, multiplies, and soon you've got a resistant population. Evolution happening in hospitals, on farms right now.
And the Charlesworths take us into newer areas too, like EvoDevo. Evolutionary developmental biology.
This is where it gets really fascinating. The idea of a shared genetic toolkit.
Exactly. Master control genes like the Hox genes that lay out the basic body plan. And remarkably similar versions of these genes are found across incredibly different animals.
So the same basic set of genes directs the development of, say, a fly's body segments and a human spine.
Kind of mind-blowing, isn't it? I mean, small changes in when or where these master genes are turned on can lead to really big evolutionary jumps in body form.
Wow. And then there's the whole puzzle of sex. Why did sexual reproduction evolve? It seems so inefficient compared to just cloning yourself.
Right. The Charlesworths discuss the Red Queen hypothesis.
The Red Queen. Like in Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Running just to stay in place.
That's the one. The idea is we're in a constant arms race with parasites and diseases. They evolve quickly to infect us, so we need a way to quickly generate new genetic combinations for our immune systems.
So sex, by shuffling the genetic deck each generation through recombination, creates that novelty needed to keep up with the rapidly evolving pathogens. We have to keep running evolutionarily.
Makes sense. They also dig into sexual selection, which is different from natural selection. This explains traits that don't necessarily help with survival, but do help with reproduction.
Like a peacock's tail. Seems like a burden for survival, but...
Exactly. It's driven by female choice, or you have male-male competition, like stags fighting with antlers. Both are about maximizing reproductive success, not just survival.
Okay, so stepping back from the details, what are the really big core messages we should take away from the Charlesworth's work?
Well, theme one has to be common descent, the tree of life idea. Everything is connected.
It's humbling, really, that deep connection we share with, you know, everything from bacteria to blue whales, all written in the same basic genetic code.
Absolutely. And the theme, too, is natural selection as the creative engine.
Right.
But, and this is crucial, it's a blind process.
Right. No foresight, no goal. It's more like a tinkerer than a grand designer. It just optimizes whatever works best right now in this environment.
Which explains why evolution often produces slightly clunky, good enough solutions, not perfect designs. It works with what's already there.
And theme three, the molecular revolution sealed the deal. Genetics, DNA sequencing. It took the evidence from being incredibly strong to, well, undeniable.
The fact that you can literally swap genes between vastly different organisms and they often still work That's profound proof of shared ancestry.
The book also has some really punchy ways of putting things, key ideas, like distinguishing between evolution as both fact and theory.
Yeah, that's so important for clarity. The fact is, change over time, we see it. The theory is the well-tested explanation for how that change happens, natural selection, drift, mutation.
And another key point they make, natural selection is not the only agent of evolutionary change.
Right, it's the main driver of adaptation, but you also have things like genetic drift, random chance, especially powerful in small populations, and mutation, constantly feeding in new variations. It's a more complex picture.
Definitely not just selection. And maybe the most perspective-shifting idea is humans are not the endpoint or pinnacle of evolution.
Oof, yeah. We are one species among millions, a single twig on an immense branching tree of life.
Really puts us in our place, doesn't it? We're a product of contingent history, not the goal of the whole process. And this understanding isn't just academic, it has huge real-world applications.
Hugely important, especially in public health. Understanding viral evolution is key to developing vaccines for things like the flu or tackling HIV.
Because the viruses are constantly changing, evolving resistance.
Exactly. And the antibiotic resistance crisis is pure applied evolution. We have to use evolutionary thinking to manage how we use antibiotics, or we'll lose them.
They even mention things like balancing selection, like the sickle cell trait, providing malaria resistance in heterozygotes, a fascinating evolutionary trade-off with medical relevance.
And beyond medicine, think about conservation biology.
Right. If we want to help endangered species survive climate change and other pressures, we need to preserve their genetic diversity.
Because that diversity is the raw material for future adaptation. No variation, no potential to evolve in response to new challenges.
You know, what really struck me reading about all this was the elegance of it. How a few relatively simple ingredients, variation, inheritance, selection, plus deep time, can generate such mind-boggling complexity.
It's true. For me, it's the sheer power of the convergent evidence.
Yeah.
It's not just one line of proof. It's fossils, anatomy, genetics, developmental biology, observations in the wild. It all points to the same conclusion, that consilience is incredibly persuasive.
So maybe a final thought for you, the listener, to ponder. Given that evolution is happening right now, all around us, what species do you think are undergoing the fastest, most dramatic changes today? Maybe in your own backyard or city, or even inside your own body, and why?
Something to think about.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.